Hi folks, Nathan Pierce here with Family Protection Ministries. Today, we're going to look at a couple of things related to patterns in the battles that homeschooling has faced over the last 40 years. And we're going to look at what we can expect to see in the future. I want to talk about a couple of the main themes that we've seen in the attacks. I want to talk about some of the things that we should definitely expect, some of the things that we might see. And then I want to talk a little bit about the things that we can do to engage and why we should. So join with me as we look at some of the history so that we can see how the freedom to homeschool has been under attack in the past and what we can learn from that for the future. So let's get into it. Welcome to the Frontline with FPM, where we talk about California politics, homeschool freedom, parental rights, and the family. I'm your host, Nathan Pierce, and thanks for joining us today. Let's jump right in and see what's going on here on the Frontline. All right, let's start off with looking at some of the patterns that we've seen in the past. In California specifically, we've seen a lot of battles in the homeschool arena. Some of the things that have been in the periphery that would have or could have impacted homeschool freedom itself, but perhaps didn't look like it was directly aimed at homeschool freedom. And this kind of relates somewhat to how homeschool freedom relates to perhaps either religious freedom or parental rights. Other things that are connected to homeschooling but don't necessarily have the label homeschooling, but might be the reasons that people care about homeschool freedom. It might be because of a need, a special need that a child has, a special reason, that a unique reason that a family might have to homeschool. Or it could be a basic principle that the family chooses to live by, and therefore they choose homeschooling to achieve the consistency for pursuing that principle. So let's start with the basics of government intrusion. We've seen a lot of attacks through the principle of just going after parents that CPS workers disagree with as a matter of principle, whether it's a religious principle or parenting principle, various things. We've had a number of attacks. Particularly back in the 80s and 90s. 90s heavily, we dealt with a number of issues from Child Protective Services where they were abusing their power. Abuse of CPS was pretty out of control in the 90s. There were a number of cases, some of which went through courts and were shut down. And it sort of changed some of the patterns because of certain victories that were achieved in some of these CPS cases where CPS abused their authority over in situations where they shouldn't have been exercising authority to either take children away from parents or to enter homes without warrants or permission. And ultimately, these led to court cases, decisions where CPS was overruled, and that has kind of gone on to other states even to be used to uphold the authority of parents and to point the finger at CPS and say, you don't have universal, unlimited authority. And so there have been some significant positive changes because of some of those cases that came up in the 1980s and 90s. So let's talk a little bit about some legislative proposals that we saw over the last 40 years, particularly homeschool related. We had a number of proposals to restrict homeschooling. There was in the 80s a proposal to ban homeschooling outright, to ban even small private schools, even if you had a school that was smaller than 10 students. People trying to run a school like that would be put in jail as a penalty. Very, very strict proposals to severely limit private education. We also saw in the 90s a limitation proposal, an attempt to shut down private schools' ability to teach creation. There was a movement to mandate the teaching of evolution and to ban the teaching or instruction of creationism in private schools. And this is completely aside from the battle over creation versus evolution in the public schools. That's not even what I'm talking about, although that's an ongoing battle that certainly was being wrestled with in the 70s, 80s, 90s, you know. But ultimately, this situation is talking about private education. And there was, believe it or not, a real battle for that in the 1990s. In fact, one case, ICR versus Honig, was a case between a graduate school. It wasn't even an elementary school. It was a graduate school, a private graduate school that that was operating. And if you're familiar with the case, you know that ICR is the Institute for Creation Research, and they were told that they could not teach creation. This is the Institute for Creation Research. They were told they would lose their license to operate as a school. And this was the Institute for Creation Research versus Bill Honig, who was the superintendent of public instruction at the time. So this really was a major challenge to the autonomy of public of private education in the 1990s. And ultimately, ICR won. In essence, they were able to continue to teach creation. They did not lose their license. And the state had to stand down. The case was settled out of court, and the state of California stood down and accepted that they could not challenge a private school's right to teach creationism. So that was a major, major issue. And many people probably don't realize that took place, but that was a major battle. And I honestly don't think that that's over. In fact, we've seen a number of times in legislation proposals over the years and suggestions by education elites that we need to crack down on the religious instruction in private education and make sure that specifically in the area of the definition of family, the definition of gender, these are areas where the state needs to step in as proposed by certain legislators, and take a stand and say, no, this is an area where the state has to take the lead and help people in their evolutionary process to accept the new norms of gender, family, and society. And we can't allow, this is a quote, we can't allow religion to be an excuse for discrimination. So this is a discussion that's happened in committee hearings in the California legislative process, and it's kind of come and gone in waves over the years, but it's definitely a pattern that we're seeing intensify at times, particularly in the last 10 years or so. Looking at some of the other issues that we've dealt with over the last 30, 40 years so I mentioned the proposal to ban small private schools and homeschooling in the 80s. In the 90s, there was a law to actually require background checks for all homeschool families. For private school teachers, there is requirements for that, but there was an amendment to that law specifically for homeschool parents at that time. So looking then at some of the other peripheral issues, there have been multiple proposals to mandate mental health screenings for all people in California, and from birth till death, mandatory mental health screenings so that the state could keep an eye on who was troublemakers, essentially, whether somebody was not just unstable but disagreed. And some of these proposals could have caused potentially significant problems for folks that had specific social values that conflicted with the social values of those that were doing the mental health exams. So that could have caused major problems for those homeschooling. And I think if you look too at some of the bills that we've dealt with over the years, We've seen a couple of times where homeschooling was attempted to be defined into the a form of child abuse. People were considered to be child abusers if they were considered truant, if the child was considered truant, which was redefined multiple times in various attempts at legislation. So shifting definitions around is an area where legislative proposals have really caused a lot of trouble, because specifically with certain words that get defined differently than you would expect, they change the meaning of not just the law that they're putting into place, but they might change the meaning of the laws that are all already on the books in other places in the code of California. So you might change the meaning of one word, and that changes what the meaning of a bunch of other codes and laws actually mean. What is the impact of all these other codes simply because of a change in a definition of one word? And we've certainly seen that run rampant with definitions of gender and family and things like this, parental relationships. And that's an area where I think we need to really be careful and watch out. And that's something that we have to do here at Family Protection Ministries, is constantly be on the lookout for new terminologies or changes to current terminologies, to changes to definitions, so that we can be aware of how the laws could change without us seeing it happen in a more traditional way, because it's being done in such a way to sort of hide it, because they're using words that would normally mean something totally different, but they're defining them in the code to their advantage to mean something different, so that they can slip something through quickly, and then later we find out that it actually means something significant to impact the relationship between parents and children, the authority structure there, and the state's ability to step in and call something a crime that didn't used to be, and then remove children from parents because of this new crime that's been defined into the code. So over the years, we've also dealt with battles specifically with media, not necessarily with legislation, but with media just tweaking public perception about homeschooling. We've seen that come in a number of different ways, whether it's saying homeschool students are not able to achieve academically, or homeschool students are inept socially. Homeschool students cannot function in society, can't get a job, can't go to college. A lot of these things have kind of come and gone over the years. And then we have the question of whether homeschooling is safe. And of course, there's also studies on all of these different waves of challenges that we've seen. Studies that continually show that homeschooling works. Homeschool students are able to function socially, are able to get a job, are able to get to college, are able to perform well academically, and indeed are actually safe. And so looking at all the accusations and all the challenges, the studies, the research that's been done doesn't support the accusations, doesn't support the challenges. However, there's so much movement and legislation ideas behind and within all these movements to challenge homeschooling, that they feel they don't really need the research to back up what they're saying. They just want to do it anyway, because it allows them to control what's being taught and who's in charge. So with a wide range of these attacks over the years, God has definitely protected homeschooling time and time again. Many battles that we've dealt with, whether it's lowering compulsory attendance age to get more control over younger children, whether it's trying to add required courses, whether it's trying to control the curriculum to mandate testing, or to require all parents that want to homeschool to be certified teachers. All of these battles that we've dealt with over and over again, God has protected homeschooling time and time again. But that doesn't mean we can sit back and enjoy our freedoms, hoping that the war is over. No, the war isn't over. God wants us to stay engaged and to stand up for what's right and true. And we need to stand up for our freedoms today because that is how we honor God. We invest in freedom for the sake and protection of our families. Yes, we give our time and our energy to freedom for our children and our grandchildren, but we do it first for the Lord's sake, because we are to honor Him and stand for truth and righteousness. And as we engage, as we invest, as we sacrifice for this freedom, we also acknowledge that we are stewards of our freedom, stewards of our money, stewards of our children and of our families. But God is ultimately the owner of all things. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and it is He who will save us and not we ourselves. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the battle belongs to the Lord. So as we remember these things, we can look back at all the battles we faced. We can see that God has walked us through all these battles. We've been able to have victories as God has given us wisdom to fight those battles. We working together with other organizations and with the families in the state of California and across the country. Family Protection Ministries has been engaged in these battles since the mid-80s. We have continued to work with state organizations, Christian Home Educators Association of California, CHEA, with Homeschool Legal Defense Association, HSLDA. We need to have these different organizations working together in order to maintain these freedoms that we have. And we've been able to enjoy considerable freedoms, especially given that we live in California, a state where we're not known for our freedom here right now. We are continually going through challenges to our freedom. We also need to rely on other organizations like the National Home Education Research Institute that provides us with a lot of resources and that peer-reviewed research that enables us to have some resources, some studies to back up what we're saying about how homeschooling works in California and across the nation and around the world. They have continued to produce resources that help us to have some statistics behind what we're saying, behind the arguments that we use at the state capitol, because those are necessary. But we also need groups like the attorneys at HSLDA, because they help us with working on specific code language. That's very, very helpful with their group of attorneys over there. And then with CHEA of California, we really need that infrastructure, that connection, that support network between groups throughout the state of California so that we can stand united. And I want to talk a little bit more about that, because I think it's really important that we understand that, especially going into the next few years, which I think we're going to need to be continually praying to God for help and for hope, really, in having victories in the battles that are coming, because the battle's not over. We have more battles coming. There are new challenges on the horizon. There are new proposals to regulate homeschooling with requirements for teacher credentialing, requirements for background checks for parents, requirements for curriculum standards, and what are you going to be allowed to teach to your children, check-ins for safety, home visits, and even verification that you're even a person that should be allowed to teach your children. There's a lot of wild ideas out there that to many legislators don't seem wild at all. Even though they might seem wild to you and I, they're not wild to some of these legislators that think that we have too much freedom in California. So as we look at the challenges that we have faced, the God that's brought us through those challenges, and the challenges that are on the horizon, I want us to all consider how we can engage in the places where we live, specifically with your local support groups, too. I mentioned other organizations, but we need to not forget our local homeschool support groups, because that's where our local connections are. That's usually the first point of contact with new homeschool families, bringing new people up to speed on what's going on in the legislature and the homeschool battles, the freedom for homeschooling. They provide a grassroots network for sharing information and for organizing local action and really fostering that sense of community that can be built into a core of people that can then engage at the state level, at the regional level. We need people to be encouraging one another and working together because we can stand so much better together than we can on our own. We are stronger when we work together. So consider that and engage locally, engage with your state organization, engage with the national organizations, and really take a stand for freedom and recognize that it's important. If the freedom that you have to homeschool is important to your family, then please engage, because it's not a free freedom. It's a freedom that we have to continually invest in. Otherwise, we'll lose it, and our children won't have it, and neither will our grandchildren. But we need to invest in it today for ourselves and for our children's children. So join with us today. I would appreciate your prayers for us as we enter into this next legislative session. We're nearing the election. It's coming right up. And then we have the legislative session starting in the beginning of December, and bills will be flying. We'll have approximately 3,000 bills introduced in the next few months, and we need to go through them and try to figure out which are the worst ones and which ones we need to prioritize to work on to defend families. So engage with us. Pray for us as we do this work. Pray for our legislators that they would hold back on evil proposals. And pray for us that we would have the ability to find things early and be able to engage with folks in the legislature, legislators and their staff, that we'd be able to have friendly conversations and that we'd be able to resolve conflicts smoothly and quickly. So you can also donate to our work by donating on our website at fpmca.org. And we appreciate your support and your prayers for our work. And definitely sign up for our emails so that you can stay up to speed on everything that's happening in the legislature. Once bills are introduced and we are tracking them, we'll put the bills that we're engaging on our website, on our bill tracker. So you can see that on our website at fpmca.org/billtracker. So hopefully that will be of help to you. I hope you're encouraged that God has carried us through a myriad of battles and that He is able to carry us forward. So God bless you. Talk to you again next time. Thanks for joining us for this episode of The Frontline with FPM. For more information about the topics we discuss here, check out Family Protection Ministries at fpmca.org and subscribe to our channel.